All right. One of the things we read each night, I mean, on the Passover night, is this section that says, "And you shall say a feast of Passover." And so, for the next, until we reach Passover, we're gonna study these things. So anyway, "And you shall say a feast of Passover. The power of the mighty deeds did thou show forth wondrously on Passover, chief of the festivals. Didst thou exalt the Passover, thou didst reveal to Abraham the events of the midnight of Passover." So we'll study that today. "Then the next, thou did rap at his doors during the heat of the day on the Passover. He gave bright angels a meal of matzah cakes. On Passover, he ran to the cattle as a hint of Joseph the ox who will bring about the Passover." And that's the next one. "The people of Sodom were treated to God's wrath and were consumed in fire on a Passover." And so that's the next one. "And at God the issue of first drink did thou bruise on the march night of Passover." Well, anyway, you know the thing. We've done it enough times. So we're going to look at this thing about destroying the thing. The first one is, "Thou did show forth wondrously in Passover, chief of all festival, did thou exalt the Passover. Thou did reveal to Abraham the events of the midnight of Passover." So let's go to Genesis 15. See what he revealed on the night of the Passover. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham." Melchizedek just visited Abraham, probably during the day before Passover. Anyway, we'll go back there later. I'll never get done if we. "The Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, said, Look now toward the heavens, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now the next one is what is the thing that's taking place on the night of Passover. It's the horror of great darkness. "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of earth of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, the horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those places. And the same day or the same hour, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So what happened? What's going on here? He took each of those animals and, you know, he split them down the middle except the birds, and he laid them so the blood was open. No, normally if a contract is to be signed with the parties at this time, they killed one animal, normally a small one, and then both parties walked a figure eight through the blood. And the contract said, if either of us break this covenant, then what's happened to that animal will happen to you, or the one that breaks the covenant. But the interesting thing here is that God put Abraham to sleep. And so God alone cut the covenant. And that said, if either one of us break this contract or this covenant, then God will die. And that was a prefiguration of Christ and of Messiah in that first. Now, let's see what Paul said about it in Galatians 3. Now, why is this important?
One reason it's important to me is it happened without any effort on Abraham's part when he was asleep.
Except he saw the horror.
Yeah, he saw the horror.
Yeah. All right. Starting verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law on the side of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but this man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, or on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth to it. Now to Abraham and his seed was the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till a seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And so in every other case, when there is a mediation because a contract was broken, it's between two people and then the mediator. Do you understand? But this is critical because God made the covenant alone. So what does it say? Is the law then against the promises of God? I had a visitor. God forbid, For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should be by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now here it's simple. The promise is not made, what does it say in 16? To Abraham and seed where the promise is made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. If you're born again, born from above, then the sperma, our seed, is Jesus Christ. The flesh is nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing except as a vehicle. And this is what celebrates this contract. And it came to pass on Passover. Now, what does that mean to you? The only one thing it means is you have to have integrity. You have to see the futility and emptiness of human life. That it can't bring anything but unrest. So there's now his own right arm, his own seed has gotten him the victory. No. You die, he lives. But if you keep yourself alive, the evil one keeps you alive because you give breath to your mind. Or you use your mind. We've gone through this a thousand times. The default position is the evil one. That's why you mortify. It must be considered constant that you're dead. You can never again believe what your mind is telling you or your emotions. Otherwise, this is null. Because the promise is to Abraham and his seed. Not to seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which is Christ. Now the celebration of that, which is, it's not the gospel of man. It's not good. Gospel means good news. It's not good news to man. It's the worst news he could ever hear. But somehow we've twisted this mystery of God to make it a gospel that's good news to man. And why is it so popular? Because everyone wants to improve. So that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. You want to get stuff. You want to get something. You want to improve. You can't improve on perfection. You can't add to eternity. Amen? Okay, that's the first, and it came to pass on Passover. Unless you have something to say, which you know I just love it when you sit there like bumps on a log. Everybody understand this perfectly?
That was interesting. You said you can't improve on perfection, yet you're perfected by one offering, yet so often I don't feel like I've been perfected.
Remember, you're still seeking the things that the world seeks.
That's true.
As long as you do that, then this is meaningless.
Well, that's strong. I do. I definitely find myself repenting often.
Well, can you finally see that you're dead? There's nothing there. There's no there. There's a guy, the evil ones have been masquerading as you. You don't even exist. How can you give importance to this evil one? All right. That's enough. Anybody else? John? All right. Michael? You got it down? Are you and Sydney coming to Passover? Good. Take it, big guy.